the brothers finish up in Shulna. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. So a little bit review, inshallah, before we begin, because when we go ahead, we shouldn't be forgetting what we covered, inshallah, in the past. Like they say, what's the Urdu? Aage door piche chor. So we have to try to review, inshallah, as we get. Like I said last time, we're climbing a mountain. And when you're climbing a mountain, you have to peg yourself in every once in a while so that if you slip, then you have a place to, you know, start up again, inshallah. So just a little bit of review, inshallah. So one of the things we talked about, the reward of learning one ayah of the Qur'an. Anybody remember, what is the reward of learning one ayah of the Qur'an? 100 nafl, yes, it's better than 100 nafl. And if you do one chapter of a chapter of knowledge, then that's better than 1,000 nafl. Okay, doing it, even if you act upon it, you don't act upon it. So that's just the act of learning that knowledge. And practicing it will be even more. What was the meaning of seerah? It's usually used as the life of the Prophet ﷺ, but what is it? Like a path, barakallahu fiqh. Sare siru masiran or siratan, which means like a path. So someone walks a path, that is a sira. That's one of the meanings of that, okay? Barakallahu fiqh. Other meanings, for example, you have the character of a person, the life of a person, you know, the mannerisms of a person, all that, that's all part of sira. What did Aisha radhiallahu anha say when she was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's like a walking Quran, barakallahu fik. Okay, he's like a walking Quran, and everything that you find in the Quran, you'll find in the blessed Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith about the sign of true iman was one of the signs of having true iman. Remember Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu? Yes. Barakallahu fik. Yes. Loving the Prophet ﷺ more than all mankind, including yourself. One more, inshallah. Two more. What stopped, when Fatima radhiallahu anha was crying, what stopped her from crying and instead she started to laugh? What made her laugh?
She just wanted to die in
the
first one.
Yes. That the Prophet ﷺ told her that she will be the first to join him in the hereafter. So she started to laugh because she wanted to be with the Prophet, wanted to be with her father, even if it entailed leaving this life, dying and leaving her kids behind, leaving her husband behind. But she loved her father so much, loved the Prophet so much that she became overjoyed with happiness. What two things do we get if we follow the Sunnah? If we do ittiba Sunnah, what do we get? Two things. You get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, that's one. And number two, forgiveness of sins. Okay, forgiveness of sins. Barakallahu feekum. So inshallah today we'll start, continue on. And one of the things about seerah is that before we even get to the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, we have to talk about the context. We need to see what's going on before in the background information. So one of the things the ulama do is they go to the background and they go thousands of years before the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, and when that is the story of Ibrahim ﷺ, Abul Anbiya. So Ibrahim ﷺ, we know him as the father of prophets and the father of monotheism, and that's because all the prophets that came after Ibrahim ﷺ were from his nasl, were from his progeny. So you had all the prophets from the Bani Israel, they're all from Ishaq alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then you have the final and last messenger, sallallahu alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, is from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. So we go back to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. he takes his wife Hajar alayhi salam and their young son, this infant Ismail alayhi salam, and he takes them to a journey. He says, get ready, let's go for a journey. They pack whatever they can, they get some dates in a bag, some water, and they go out to the middle of the desert. He takes them to this certain area, he stops, leaves them there, turns around, starts going away. Now Hajar alayhi salam, the wife, she's wondering what's going on. Why is my husband leaving me here in the middle of the desert like this with an infant? Why would he do this? So she's asking him, and she's like, where are you going? You're leaving us like this? Where are you going? And Ibrahim alayhi salam does not respond. He's not allowed to respond. So then Hajar alayhi salam says to him that Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask you to do this? Did he order you to do this? And Ibrahim alayhi salam, without even turning back, without even looking at her, he nods, saying yes. And after she hears this, she says, إِذَنْ لَنْ يُدَيْعَنَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let us go to waste. He will not let us go to, He will not let us perish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. And this shows the tawakkul and the yaqeen that she had, that this is something ordered by Ibrahim, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect her. He will not let us go to waste. Now, Hajar alayhi salam, at that point, she's waiting. She knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some plan, but she doesn't know what that is. Now she's waiting, and as they run out of supplies, she runs out of water, she runs out of dates, and she's in the middle of the desert, nothing around them. Okay? Now Hajar alayhi salam starts to worry that my infant son, who's crying and screaming out of pain, out of hunger, what am I going to do? How am I going to feed this child? So she goes to search for water. Now, being in the middle of the desert, being with the child, and being weak, remember it's hot, and it's the desert, and she ran out of supplies, she can't go so far. So she climbs upon two nearby hills, Safa and Marwa, going from one hilltop to another. And as she's doing this, she gets to a certain area in between, where she starts to run. And that area is where she could not see Ismail. So there was an area where she could not see Ismail alayhi salam, so she would run and between those areas, and then when she would get to able to see him again, she would start walking and going from one to another 7 times. And this later on becomes part of the Hajj and becomes part of the Umrah, which is Sa'i. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much, the sunnah of Hajar alayhi salam, that he made it mufard, he made it part of Umrah, he made it part of Hajj. So you see how Hajar alayhi salam, she's looking for this water. And as she's doing this, she finally goes back to her son who's screaming in pain. And she sees that water has started sprouting out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, who hit the ground. And where the feet of Ismail alayhi salam was, the water starts to come out. And this was the water of Zamzam. Now, Hajar alayhi salam, as she's seeing this water, remember she's in the middle of the desert, she's worried it might be only a little bit of water that comes out, so she starts putting sand around it to try to contain it. And as she's doing this, she says in her language, Zam, 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 which means to stop, like she's worried it's going to spread out and just dry out. So she's starting to do this, and the Prophet says in a hadith that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the Umm Ismail, on the mother of Ismail, if she لو تركتها, if he left it alone, it would have become like a river flowing. And this is where Zamzam came, and the blessed water of Zamzam, there's many benefits of this. The Prophet in one hadith, when he talks to Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, he says that إِنَّهَا مُبَارَكَ, that this water, ma Zamzam, it's mubaraka, it's blessed. And he says that ma zamzam lima shuriba lah, that this ma zamzam, this water of zamzam, is for whatever you drink it for, whatever intention you have, whatever you think, whatever dua you're making while you're drinking zamzam, inshallah ta'ala it will be accepted. And with scenario by Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he would drink zamzam, he would make the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'in min kulli da. So he'll read this dua when he's doing this. So the ulama, they encourage a person to make dua while they are drinking zamzam. Now, going back to the hadith, so Abu Dharr Ghafari, he says that the Prophet ﷺ said to him that this is ma zamzam innaha mubaraka innaha ta'amu ta'min وَشِفَاءُ سُقْمٍ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that this is a ta'am, this is a food for a person who needs food, and it is nourishment. So it's a nourishment for someone who needs food, and it is shifa, it is a cure for those who are sick. And Abu Dharr al-Ghifari رضي الله عنه, in that famous hadith, he tells how when he first came to Makkah Mukarramah, and he stayed for 1 month surviving on nothing but the Zamzam. So he's drinking Ma Zamzam, he had nothing else to eat or drink except Zamzam. And he says, after a month, I started to develop fat. So he started getting fat from Zamzam itself. So we see the nutritional value of this, and the barakah that Allah SWT has put into Zamzam, that this is something that it could be used even as a food. Now, after Hajar alayhi salam, she's putting this water together. Soon, now the animals in the sky, the birds, they see this water. And remember, it's in the middle of the desert. So they're all rushing towards that water. Everyone's thirsty. They need water. They need to survive. So all these birds are rushing towards this water. And there's a nearby nomadic tribe by the name of Jurhum. They're traveling, they're Bedouins traveling in the desert. And they see these birds traveling towards this area. So they're wondering, like, what's going on? There must be something that they're going to. So they follow that, and they find this woman with her infant child, and they find water. And they're amazed. They're like, we just passed by here. There's nothing here. Now all of a sudden, there's water here. You know, where did this come from? Now, what happens next is very, very amazing. Something amazing. They come, and remember, if they're Bedouin tribes, they're nomadic tribes. They have swords, they have weapons. All they have to do is push her aside and say, this is our land, you know, get out of here, just, you know, go away. But they actually go, and before they even go close to her, they seek permission from this woman, can we come close to you? Can we come close to this water? Can we drink from this water? And then after that, they ask permission, can we stay in this area? Can we stay around this water? We want to settle here. We don't, just, you know, we're just wandering in the desert. There's water here. Can we settle here? She gives them permission to stay. And she says that only on one condition. That is, I'm in control of this water. So you see how this woman by herself with her infant child, being afraid, you know, normally someone would be afraid. They're going to kill my child. They're going to kill me. You know, but she's not afraid. She has tawakkul. She has yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she's ordering them what to do. She says, you can stay here, but I'm in control of the water. And this shows her tawakkul. Now again, this is something that when you have tawakkul, when you have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else, and when you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts fear and awe of that person in the hearts of the people surrounding. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, in one example, when he was traveling back to Medina Manawa, he's with the Sahaba, and it was daytime, it was hot. So they said they all scattered around under whatever branches and whatever shade they can find. The Prophet ﷺ is resting in one place, and one Arabi, one Bedouin comes, sneaks into the camp, and he grabs the sword of the Prophet ﷺ, which was hanging on a nearby tree. He grabs it, he unsheathes it, and he puts it to the face of the Prophet ﷺ. Now the Prophet ﷺ wakes up and sees this guy standing right in front of him with his sword right in front of his face. And this man says, "Man yamna'uka minni?" Who's going to stop you? Who's going to stop me from killing you? Rasulullah ﷺ just looks at him right away and says, "Allah. Allah is going to save me." And at that moment, that person is overcome with so much fear, he starts to shake and he drops the sword. Now the Prophet ﷺ picks up the sword and he says to him, "Now it's your turn. Man yamna'uka minni? Who's going to save you now from me?" And he says, "Just leave me alone, please. Just let me alone. Don't kill me." The Prophet ﷺ makes him promise he won't attack the Muslims anymore. And he actually goes back. Some narrations they say he goes back as a Muslim, and he tells his people that, "I'm coming back from the best of mankind." So now we see that the tawakkul is in the heart of Hajar alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the fear and they're actually listening to this woman, and they go there, and then eventually the society develops and starts to flourish, and more people start gathering. Other, you know, nomadic tribes see this water and they gather around. It becomes like a small village. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's gone back to Palestine. And he would come occasionally to visit his family. So at one occasion, for example, he comes and he says to Ismail alayhi salam, his young child who has grown up a little bit more now, he's of running age, so he says to him that I've seen in my dream that I am slaughtering you. So you tell me, what should I do? That I am being ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to slaughter you, what should I do? And he responds, this child, okay, and look at the intelligence of this child, the matureness of this child, and the iman of this child, the faith of this child. This child says that, Ya abati, if'al ma tu'mar. Do what you are ordered to do. Do what you are ordered to do. You will find me from the sabireen. You will find me from the people who have patience. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam goes through that test where he takes a knife, puts it to the neck of his beloved son, doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that knife cannot cut. He's not able to cut. So he's wondering, what's going on? Did I not sharpen it? What's going on? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who owns the science and owns the rules and owns that knife and the cutting of the knife and the one who made all these rules, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders that knife not to cut. So he is not able to cut, and then soon thereafter, because he passed the test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a lamb and he slaughters the lamb instead. That same knife is used to slaughter the lamb. So you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects and tests his servants, and whenever they pass the test, they increase in their rank and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another time Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes back to visit his son Ismail alayhi salam, but at that moment Ismail alayhi salam was gone, actually out hunting, and he finds that his son has gotten married. So he knocks on the door and a woman appears, the wife of Ismail alayhi salam, his daughter-in-law. She doesn't know who he is. Remember, he didn't get to attend the wedding. He wasn't there for the wedding. So she doesn't know who he is. So he asks, where's the man of the house? She says, he's out hunting, he's coming, he's going to be back soon or in the evening, whatever. Ibrahim alayhi salam says that, how is your life? How are you guys, what's your situation? She starts to complain. He starts to complain, we're living in this kind of problems and we have this and that. And when she's doing this, then Ibrahim alayhi salam says, please give him my salam and tell him to change the atabat babi, to change the entrance or porch of his house. He says this and he goes away. She doesn't understand what that means. And when her husband Ismail alayhi salam comes back, he senses something. He says that, was someone here? Did someone visit? She says, yes, an old man came to visit. And Ismail says, what did he say? She says that he told me to give you his salam, and he said to change the porch or the entrance of your door. So he says to her right away, that was my father, and he has ordered me to divorce you. So you have your divorce, go back to your family. Then he marries another woman from Jurhum again. And at this time, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he comes back again to visit, he's as coincidence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that way, Ismail alayhi salam is gone out hunting again. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam comes back, he asks the same question to the second wife. He says, how is your living? How are you guys, surviving? How's everything going? How's life? And she responds by saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with this and this. And he says, give him my salam and tell him to keep this doorstep, to keep this porch, keep this Ataba Babi. He says, do this. And when he leaves, same thing. Ismail alayhi salam senses that his father was here. And he says, that was my father. He has ordered me to keep you. And he continues. So eventually they have children. And from that children, we know that comes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now another time when Ismail alayhi salam meets his father, actually Ibrahim alayhi salam comes back to visit again. Remember, he would come occasionally. And this time he says to his son Ismail alayhi salam, who's a young man, he's married at this time, he's older, and he says to him, guess what, Ismail alayhi salam, I've been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. I need your help. Now Ismail alayhi salam, he might have had a flashback of his childhood, but he says again, whatever you have been ordered to do, I'm ready. What is it? So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to build the Kaaba, to raise the foundations of the Kaaba. So now they start to gather the material, they start to build the Kaaba. itself, because the Kaaba itself, the foundations were there, and that's what, how Ibrahim alayhi salam knew where to drop off Hajar alayhi salam and his son, and then when he left. But he raised the foundations of that Kaaba with Ismail alayhi salam. That's how the Kaaba was built. So they built the Kaaba, and one of the things that happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the Hajar Aswad. They use that as a cornerstone, and this is from Jannah. So they use this as a cornerstone. And Hajar Aswad, there's a hadith where that someone, and this is, you know, when you go for Umrah or Hajj, do not push and shove to go and kiss the Hajar Aswad. But if you're able to, inshallah, Dhuhr time is the best time to go. After Dhuhr, like an hour after Dhuhr, they actually make lines, and you can go easily kiss the Hajar Aswad. If someone does that, the Hajar Aswad becomes a witness for that person on the Day of Judgment. It takes like an image of your heart at that point, and it becomes a witness of your iman on the Day of Judgment. Now, another rock that was sent down. Anybody know there's another rock that was sent down by from Jannah also? Anybody know what that was? It's also in within the vicinity of the Kaaba.
Yemeni corner?
Not the Yemeni corner, something else.
Which Ibrahim
Islam first steps. Yeah, Maqam Ibrahim. Barakallahu feek. So the Maqam Ibrahim, this is also a rock from Jannah. And it's a miracle, that rock. You know, to us, when you go and you look inside of it, it just looks like a normal rock with the footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But that rock actually is from Jannah, and it's a miracle. It was like an elevator. You know these machines we see, I think we have one in the gym right now, where it's like a lift. So if you want to go lift up, you press the button, and it goes like really slowly goes up, and you can do whatever work you need to do. Ibrahim alayhi salam, remember, he's building the Kaaba, and the Kaaba is pretty tall. So he needs to go up to lift the rock, or lift the bricks, and put the bricks on top. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this Maqam Ibrahim, where he would stand on top of this, and automatically it would fly up, and he would be able to put the bricks, and he finished building the Kaaba in that way. Now, when Ibrahim alayhi salam, while he's building the Kaaba, it's amazing, again, you know, the everything they did, they were always engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the things Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's building this with his son, and this is also something to for us as who are those of us who are fathers, okay, so something that we should try to do with our children. Always try to, you know, do like activities with them, do father-son projects. This is something we should always do with our children to, you know, to grow that love between the father and son, and make it so that, you know, it's tarbiyah that you can do. Have it fun activities, playing basketball, playing sports, you know, going out hunting maybe, for example, and these kind of things. Inshallah ta'ala, if we do that, that will grow the love and the bond between father and son, inshallah. So as they're doing this, father and son project, they're building this, DIY, right? Do it yourself. Okay, so they're doing this project where they're building the Kaaba. They're doing this, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, both of them are making the dua. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiyul alim. Ya, O Allah, accept this from us. Accept this. Because remember, they're fearing that even though we're building the Kaaba, we're doing this great task and this great deed, but oh Allah, if you don't accept it from us, it's worthless. Anything that we do that's not accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's worthless. So we need to do it, and we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance for those deeds. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiu al-alim, and then wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwab al-rahim. That's the dua we can make when we're doing actions, inshallah. And also Ibrahim alayhi salam says, waj'alna muslimaini lak وَمَنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So they would make this dua, that, oh Allah, not only us, but make our children pious. Make our progeny, our dhurriya, make them pious. And this is one of the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's doing this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith that I am the da'wah Abi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says that da'wah to Abi Ibrahim, I'm the da'wah, I am the manifestation of the du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I am Bushra Isa bi. And I am the manifestation, or the, not the manifestation, but I am the glad tidings that Isa alayhi salam spoke about. What does this mean? We know that when Ibrahim alayhi salam was making this du'a, that Allah accept this from us, He also said, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam are making this dua. O Allah, O our Lord, O Rabb, وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا And send amongst them, amongst our progeny, send a Rasul, send a Prophet, send a Messenger. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ Who will recite your ayat on them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ And will teach them the Qur'an and Sunnah. So they're making this dua, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ That verily you are the one who is all-powerful and the wise. So they say that, O Allah, send this Rasul in our progeny. And Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that he was the manifestation of that dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail are making this dua, and Rasulullah ﷺ, years later, thousands of years later, he is the manifestation of that dua. Now, Isa alayhi salam also, when he says, "Inni Rasulullah ilaykum musaddika lima bayna yadayya min at-Tawrat wa mubashshiran bi rasulin yati min ba'di ismuhu Ahmad." He says that I am giving glad tidings of a prophet that will come after me. His name is Ahmad, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of the things that we learn is that leaving a legacy behind. What are we doing to leave a legacy behind? We see Ibrahim alayhi salam building the Kaaba, you know, his son Ismail alayhi salam, and from his progeny comes the Prophet alayhi salam, the last and final, the best of mankind. And what are we doing to leave a legacy? What are we doing and what are we trying to do to leave that legacy, inshallah, so that we can get the ajr even after we have passed away? We look at some stories, for example, in Surah Kaf, Khidr alayhi salam, when he's with Musa alayhi salam, and there's three incidents that occur. The first one was the boat, right? When there was Khidr alayhi salam makes the hole in the boat. Okay, the second one was a child was killed right in front of Musa alayhi salam. Khidr alayhi salam killed his child. And then the third incident was what? Anybody remember?
The wall
was about to fall, and Khidr alayhi salam, he made the wall stand, and even though he wasn't getting paid for it, and he didn't get any, and they actually refused to host Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, but he made that wall stand, he fixed the wall. And when he was asked, and he gave the explanation why he did that, he says that this is the property of some orphans, and there is a kunz, there is a treasure hidden beneath this wall, and their father was Salih, he was pious. So because of his piety, because of his taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved that treasure, preserved that for his children, his orphan children. And they, when they got to the certain age, they were able to take that treasure and use that treasure. Also, the story of a famous man, and all of us, I'm sure we know, Nu'man ibn Thabit. Anybody know who that was? Nu'man ibn Thabit. He's not famously known as that. There's another name.
He was a child. Or his father was
monk. No.
Was he a poet?
No, he was a faqih. Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, his name was Nu'man ibn Thabit. So, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, it's said about his father that his father was a very extremely pious man. And as he was walking along the stream one day, he saw an apple, and he took this apple and he ate this apple. Because he was extremely hungry. He didn't eat for a long time. He was extremely hungry. So he ate this apple, and after he ate this apple, he got overcome with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anxiety. What did I do? I just ate this apple. Who owns this apple? I didn't ask for permission. So now he's going up the stream to see in search of the owner of this apple. And he gets to this farmland. He goes and knocks on the door, and he tells, I want to see the owner. The owner comes and he says to him that I ate this one apple, and I would ask you, you know, whatever the price is, whatever you want from me, you know, I'm ready. If you want me to work for you, whatever you want, I need to repay this debt. I don't want you to hold me accountable on the Day of Judgment. Now this man says to him that I will forgive you on one condition. He says, what's that condition? He says, I want you to marry my daughter. But there's something I have to tell you about my daughter. She's blind She can't see. She's deaf. She cannot hear. She's mute. She cannot speak. And she's paralyzed. She's disabled. She cannot walk. So he's like, well, I need. He was so fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He agrees to that. He says this, as long as you forgive me and you don't hold me accountable. And this is something we might think far-fetched, but actually the people of that time were of that level of taqwa. We don't feel that, we can't fathom that, we can't understand that now, because we're so far away from that level of iman. We're so far of that fear of taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can't even think of how can someone be that pious? How can someone have that much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But this man says, Thabit says, I agree. And after a few months working for him and being in that farm, he finally gets married to his wife. And as he walks into the memory, he didn't see her before. He walks into the room and he sees this beautiful young woman who looking at him. And she says, Assalamu alaikum. And he's like, he runs out of the room. He's like, what's going on? This is not what I agreed to. This is someone else. I might have got to the wrong room. So the father's like, what's wrong? He says that woman is not your daughter. She can speak. She's looking at me. You know, he says, no. The thing is that she cannot speak because what I meant by she cannot speak, and she never spoke to a non-mahram. She cannot see, meaning she never even looked. Her eyes did not fall upon a non-mahram. She cannot hear because she never heard the voice of a non-mahram. She cannot walk because she never walked towards haram. So this is how the piety that she had. Now, Thabit, the father of Nu'man radhiyallahu anhu, he actually, when he marries her, and then from that marriage comes Nu'man ibn Thabit, becomes this Abu Hanifa rahimahullah that we know him today, this great faqih that we all know today. And this shows again and again that if a person is pious, if the parents are pious, if we have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our children pious, will make our children a legacy for us, inshallah ta'ala. So I just want to end with some du'as that we have from the Quran. So for example, we have Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah innaka sami'ud du'a. Another du'a, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, Rabbi la tadharni fardan wa anta khairul warithin. So there's many du'as in the Quran, there's many others. You can look in the Quran, look on the internet, and as on top of being taqwa and having taqwa and having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being pious, we need to make du'a for our children. And inshallah ta'ala, if we do that, we'll see the legacy that we leave behind. And when we come on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll see all these mountains of deeds in our book. And we'll ask that, where did this come? They'll say, the angels will tell us that this is from your children. These are from your pious children that you left behind. And these are from the great deeds that they have done. And you are getting the reward of this. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq, inshallah, to be of those who have pious children who leave a legacy behind, and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to understand the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and become like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair.